The Fed isn't taking any chances when it comes to inflation. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Markets have been very volatile the last several days, despite the fact that earnings for many companies have been stellar. FDN Financial's chief economist Chris Lowe says, in part, this is because the Federal Reserve is considering raising interest rates a little further than expected, beyond just a neutral level, but high enough to actually restrict economic growth a bit. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
Why is the Fed so reluctant to leave interest rates low for just a little while longer?
I think the idea is that we have the lowest unemployment rate in almost 50 years. Neil Armstrong walked on the moon the last time the unemployment rate was this low. And what that means is that companies are starting to compete for workers. So we're starting to see a little wage inflation. If wage inflation really takes off, then price inflation will take off as well. And when that happens, there's really nothing the Fed can do short of tightening into a recession. And that's really what they want to avoid. So they're taking a risk of recession now by tightening a little longer than they thought they would have to.
So inflation is easier to prevent than it is to stop.
That's exactly right.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FDN Financial in New York. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Sabri.
Later today, we're going to get data on existing home sales for September. They may well be down, given the fact mortgage rates are rising. Rising interest rates also mean there's very little incentive to refinance mortgages. But if that is your job to do that, it could be a problem. Marketplace's Andy Euler has that story.
A couple of weeks ago, I got this message.
Hi, Andrew. It's Joe Herman at Everbank. I was calling you in regards to the refinance. Please give me a call back at your earliest convenience.
Turns out now is not really a good time to refinance my mortgage. Interest rates are at a 7-year high, about 5%. Warren Kornfeld covers consumer lenders for Moody's. He says that's been bad news for some lenders.
The non-bank mortgage companies are really struggling, and a decent number of them are currently no longer profitable.
5 years ago, refinancing made up 75% of the mortgage business. Today, it's just around 37%. Mike Fratantoni is the chief economist at the Mortgage Bankers Association. He says, as a result, mortgage lenders are restructuring.
Trying to cut back expenses or shrink the size of your organization to sort of meet the new reality of the market today.
The mortgage lending industry currently employs about 350,000 people, even while many banks and lenders are trying to automate as much of their business as they can. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Every year, The Economist magazine takes a big look at the world economy. This year, it focuses on the economic consequences of toxic politics and constrained central banks. Henry Kerr is an editor at The Economist. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning.
The picture you guys paint is one in which the world's economies and central banks are all pulling in different directions. In the U.S., the government stimulated the economy with a tax cut in spending, and now the Fed has to cool things down. Meanwhile, in Europe and Japan, they're still trying to warm their economies up. A lot of emerging markets are a mess. Put this all together, and you guys say we might get a recession in a couple of years.
Yes, that's the risk. If you look at the IMF forecasts, every major advanced economy was forecast to slow this year, except America, which was forecast to speed up. And so the question is, when America slows, which is likely as the tax cuts begin to wear off and as the Fed tightening begins to bite, will we then have a global downturn? And I think that's the question everyone's trying to think about.
Well, if that happens, you argue that the rich world in particular is ill-prepared to deal with even a mild recession. Why is that?
The fundamental problem is that interest rates are still too low, even in America, where rates have gone up 8 times now since the Fed started raising rates in December 2015. You've only got about 2 percentage points worth of cut. So if you look back at the history of recessions in the 20th century, typically the Fed would cut interest rates by more like 5 or 6 percentage points. So the Fed and other central banks are going to be depending on quantitative easing. That's where central banks buy financial assets like government bonds with newly created money. And there's more debate than the central banks like to admit around quantitative easing's effectiveness.
In the last recession, countries, treasury, central banks, they all really had to cooperate internationally to deal with that disaster. There are these days a lot of populist, anti-globalist governments gaining strength. Is that a problem for the next recession?
Yes, I think it is. So in the last financial crisis, the Federal Reserve opens so-called swap lines, which allowed the Fed to lend dollars to foreign central banks in return for their currency. That's why it's a swap line, as collateral for those loans. So you can imagine in an age of populism, that kind of international cooperation gets harder. And that's a problem, particularly with regard to the dollar financial system, because there's a lot more dollar finance now happening outside America than there was a decade ago.
Economist editor Henry Kerr, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Politico reports that the president wants a signing ceremony for the renegotiated NAFTA agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico somewhere in the Midwest, and he wants it before the midterm elections. It would be a symbolic signing only. Congress hasn't passed it. The Canadian ambassador to the U.S. said there is no chance of that happening as long as the U.S. continues to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.